Mishkan Vagoyim by Ischasha. That Klal Yisrael is always different from the Umas Olam and apart from them. Many years ago, I already forgot which one of the prime ministers who was newly elected in Eretz Yisrael gave his first address to the Knesset. So he was darshaning that we will no longer be Heinan Levodat Yishkan Vagoyim by Ischasha. We're going to be blending in with the other nations of the world, the United Nations, and this pasuk will no longer apply. But it still applies, even after the prime minister gave his drasha. You see that the Bilam knew that Klal Yisrael are very different. They lead a different type of life, and they die differently. Bilam was praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wishing, Thomas Napshim Mos Yishorim. So Rashi quotes from the Chazal, Yishorim first Abram Yitzchak and Yankiv. He wishes that he could die like the others of Klal Yisrael. He can't. The Bnei Yisrael live differently, and we die differently, and we're buried differently. That's why the halacha requires Kever Yisrael. You're not permitted to bury a Yehudi in a Beis HaKvaris of the Nochrim. That's the whole story at the beginning of Parshas Chayisara. That they offered Avraham Avinu the Bitcha Kavareinu Kavareis Meisecha. They considered him Nesila Kim Ato B'Sacheinu. He's a very Odom Choshuv. They offered him he can bury Sari Meinu in the most Bekovedika Beis HaKvaris. And he said, I'm not allowed to. We live differently, we die differently, we're buried in a different Beis HaKvaris. Everything has to be different. Rav Soloveitchik once told over a story. Apparently there was one of the Baron Rothschilds in recent years, in the 1960s I think, who was not at all a Shomer Mitzvahs, but he was connected with the Jewish community in Paris. So he offered Rabbi Soloveitchik to become the chief rabbi of Paris. So Rabbi Soloveitchik turned it down. He had a better position here in America, where he was in the yeshiva. He didn't need to be the chief rabbi of Paris. But when they were discussing the situation of the Jews in Paris, he was telling the story about his father, I think, that his father was not observant. The original Rothschild, Anshel Rothschild, was a medaktik b'mitzvahs. In the later generations, they were no longer observant. Many of them intermarried already. So this one of the Rothschilds left a tzavoah that after he dies, he wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So he died when de Gaulle was the president of France. So de Gaulle wouldn't allow it. He said, what do you mean? The man was born in France. He was educated in France. He made all of his money in France, his parnasa, and he died in France, and he's going to be buried in France. He didn't allow them to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. I think the end of the story was that during the Melchemet Sheshet Hayamim, there was such a mehuma and such a behala at the airport in Paris. There were LL planes. They were bringing soldiers, I think, to Eretz Yisrael and volunteers. So I think at that time they smuggled out his body and they buried him in Eretz Yisrael. But even the man who wasn't a Shomer Mitzvahs, he felt that he has to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. We have in Nehemiah, in the beginning of the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the butler to the king, Artaxasta, and he served him breakfast in bed. So the king looks at his face and he says, Madu panecha roim hayom, how come you look so sad today? So Nehemiah says, he just got a message from Eretz Yisrael that the situation there is so bad. When he describes Eretz Yisrael, so he describes it as Mekom Kibros Avoisai, the place where my forefathers are buried. People have an attachment to the place where the Kever Avos. People are drawn to Eretz Yisrael because the Avos are buried in Eretz Yisrael. That's perhaps why Yaakov Avinu left instructions that they should bury him. Rashi quotes different reasons from the Medrash why he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So another reason is he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, that his children should maintain their contact to Eretz Yisrael. They shouldn't give up their feelings that Eretz Yisrael is Al Pi Din, the national Jewish homeland. In this week's Sedra, we have in the Nevuah Bilam HaRosha, the pasuk that was mentioned before, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov. So on the bottom of the page, in the printed Chumashim, they point out that this has to be, when you write a Sefer Torah, so the Bereshis is going to be the beginning of the first column, you're going to have a base. And the rest of the Sefer Torah, usually it doesn't matter how you end the bottom of the column, how you begin the next column. So there are six words in the Chumash that the Masorah has a tradition that these words have to be on the top of a column. So Matovu is one of those six. And the Rashi Tevis that they give is Beis Yud Hei Shin Mem Vav Bikoshimo. So the Mem of Matovu has to be on the top of the page. There is even a dispute in the Rishonim whether this is Ma'akev B'di'evit. What if a Sefer wrote a Sefer Torah and he did write Matovu on the top of the page? So some Rishonim hold that it passes even B'di'evit. That's not the generally accepted opinion, but there is such a view that if you don't have the Koshmo, Bereshis is obvious, that has to be on top of the page. But the others, the Yud and the Hay and the Shin and so on, that's a question. In fact, there is two traditions regarding the Yud, whether the Yud is Yuda Ato Yoducha Achecha, whether the Yud has to be on the top of the column is the word Yehuda or the word Yoducha. So some Rishonim argue, how can it possibly be Yoducha? The word Yehuda has to be the beginning of a line, because right before Yehuda there's a psucha. The psucha means that the previous paragraph ends in the middle of the line, and the next paragraph begins the beginning of the next line. So if you're going to have the word Yoducha on the top of the column, then the last line on the previous column will only have eight letters. Yehuda Atah is only eight letters, and Halacha says that this is the Ikuva. Each line in the Sefer Torah has to have a minimum of Tesha Oisiyos. So some Rishonim say they prove the point that the Yud of the Koshmo has to be the word Yehuda as opposed to Yoducha. How can it possibly be Yoducha? Then the whole Sefer Torah will be puzzled, because you'll only have eight letters in the last line of the previous column. So the other Rishonim say, no, that's not an argument, because Koshmo is Ma'akev. So Mali, you can't argue that less than eight oisius, less than nine oisius in a line will passel the whole Sefer Torah, because the Koshmo is also the Yikuvah. Rabbi Yitzchok mentioned before the comment of Rashi on the Pasuk, Matov Olach Yaked Mishkan Oisecho, that the Beis HaMikdash is like a Mashkon, B'nei Abeneseim Shel Yisrael. A Mashkon means when a loiva borrows money from the malva, so the malva has the right to demand a mashkon. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Beis HaMikdosh as a mashkon for our sins. As soon as our sins will be forgiven, then he's going to have to give us back the mashkon. That's famous, the Vilna Gaon points out. The Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Tzion b'mishpati podeh v'shaveh ha'bin tzedakah. So the Vilna Gaon explained, the shaveh ha'bin tzedakah, when a person does tshuva, shaveh means the bali tshuva. When a person does tshuva, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to forgive us. He never signed a contract, he doesn't have to forgive us. If he forgives us, it's an act of tzedakah on his part. But once he does forgive the avoinus of Bnei Yisrael, then he's mechuyav to give us back the Beis HaMikdosh midina. Because the holding of the Beis HaMikdash, the fact that Beis HaMikdash is Chorev, is a mashkin Abur Abeneseim Shel Yisrael. So once we no longer owe the debt, the Vilna Gaon gave a mashal. Let's say the loiva owes the malva $1 million and he doesn't have any money to pay. So the malva has the right to continue holding on to the mashkin. What happens if the malva is moichel the $1 million debt? He doesn't have to be moichel, not mechuyav to be moichel. If out of the goodness of his heart, the malva is moichel, the chov of $1 million, then the loiva can force him in bezdin to give him back his mashkin, because the malva only has a right to hold on to the mashkin as long as there's a chiyuv, as long as there's a debt. Once a debt is cancelled, however, even if it's only out of the goodness of the heart of the malva, he's moichel out of his kind-heartedness, so then he's mechuyav to give back the mashkin. So that's how the Vilna Gaon interpreted the pasuk in the end of Yeshaya, Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh shaveh ha'bin tzedakah. It's an act of tzedakah, charity on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he forgives the Abaynas. But once he forgives, then Tzion is Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh, then he's mechuyav to give us back the Beis HaMikdash midina. So that's why find the Shulchan Aruch, there are two nuschos regarding the text of the Birchas Hamazon. When we say the conclusion of the third bracha, do we say Bayne Birachamov Yerushalayim Amen or Bayne Yerushalayim Amen? So Rabbi Yosef Karo records the Nusach Svar that you say Bayne Yerushalayim Amen, the same as in the Shemoneh Esrei, Bayne Yerushalayim. And the Ramah quotes the Nusach Ashkenaz that you should say Bayne Birachamov Yerushalayim. So the Vilna Gaon, although he usually davened Nusach Ashkenaz, felt that over here we should really say Bani Yerushalayim, shouldn't say Bani Verachamo, because Yerushalayim means that Beis HaMikdash will only be rebuilt once HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives all of the sins. So once HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive the sins, then it's Mechuyev and Din to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, because he had no longer has the right to hold on to the Mashkin. So that's in the Litvish Yeshivas in Europe. They didn't follow the Nusach Agra and everything, but this Nusach they did follow.
The whole area here called, if you see, this is the castle of Jerez. Jerez is
like that. There are 53 parshiyos, and all the commentaries on the Zohar ask that question. There are really 54. We have a sefer written by one of the Rishonim, a commentary on Chumash by one of the Balei HaTosfos, that's known as the Sefer HaGan, the Sefer on the 53 Gimel Nun. Nun Gimel is 53. Sefer on the 53 Parshios. So apparently the Zohar considers two Parshios that we count as two, apparently the Zohar counts them as one. So that's a whole discussion. The later commentaries on the Zohar, which of the two parshios does the Zohar count as one? So the popular notion is no, not Matas Masei. The popular notion is that the Zohar writes that there are 53 parshiyos, so we know we have 54 parshiyos. So which of the parshiyos did the Zohar throw out? That the Zohar assumes that two parshiyos, of which we have a separate, are really one. And we lay in a half a parsha on one Shabbos and half a parsha on the other Shabbos. So which are the two parshiyos that the Zohar combined together? So the popular explanation is that it's Truma Tetzaveh, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should forgive the Jewish people, the Chet Regel, said, Mechenin on the Sefer Chashia Kosovti, he said, take my name out of the Sefer Torah. So the Rishonim say that Kilos, the Gemara says, Kilos Chacham, Afilo Al Tanai Miskayemis. So since Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you don't forgive them, you'll be Mayim, Mechenin on the Sefer Chashia, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu did forgive us, but he cursed himself, it was a kilas chacham, afilat tanai miskayemes, so the curse of Moshe Rabbeinu on himself was partially fulfilled, so his name doesn't appear in one of the parsha after he's born. Before Moshe Rabbeinu is born, his name doesn't appear. But after he's born, the name of Moshe Rabbeinu appears in every parsha, with the exception of Tetzaveh. So the Vilna Gaon gave a different explanation. He didn't think that that was correct. He didn't think that it's Truma Tetzaveh that it really won. The Vilna Gaon said that Nitzavim Vayelech is one. The story goes that the Vilna Gaon, like we mentioned the story about the Ramban, that everything in the history of the future, everything in the history of the world is Merumas and Parshas Hazinu. So the Vilna Gaon said that everything in the last millennium, in the last 1,000 years before, the Gemara has a comment that the world will last for 6,000 years. Shisalman Shnin Havi Alma. So the Vilna Gaon said that what's going to happen in the last unit of 1,000 years, the last millennium of the world, is all merumas in the 10 parshios of Chumash Dvarim. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner once asked them, where is the Rebbe, Berumas? Where is there a remez to the Vilna Gaon? So the Gaon took out a Chumash Dvarim and he started to look in Parshas Kiseitze. He's mishing and mishing until he found the pasuk Eben Shlema Yihi Alach, and he said Eben is a Rosh Tamis Eliyahu ben Shlomo. His father's name was Shlomo, Eliyahu ben Shlomo. And there is a sefer that was printed after the death of the Vilna Gaon that's called Eben Shlema, where they quote the views of the Vilna Gaon on Tefillah, on Bitachon, on Talmud Torah, on Midas Torah, they make a halikut of statements of the Vilna Gaon from the various svarim that he wrote that were written by his Talmidim. He didn't write them, they're written by his Talmidim. They have a likut of Vertloch from the Gaon and topically arranged. The name of the sefer is Eben Shlema, Eben Shlomo, because of this comment. The Vilna Gaon said he was Merumas and Parshas Kiseitz and Eben Shlema. So the rest of the story goes that Rav Chaim Volozhiner asked the Vilna Gaon, why did you look in Parshas Kiseitz? Why don't you look somewhere else? So the Vilna Gaon said, because the 10 parshios in Chumash Dvarim correspond to the 10 centuries of the 6th millennium. And Nitzavim Vayelech is one parsha, Kayodua, as we all know. He thought that that was the Pshat and the Zohar, there are only 53 parshios. He thought Nitzavim Vayelech is one. And according to the way we calculate the years, we assume that this year is Tavshin Ayin Aleph. That corresponds to 2011. So according to this, that's questionable whether that's accurate. So according to this assumption, the year 1240 was the beginning of the 6th millennium. So 1240 to 1340 was the first century. 1340 to 1440, the second century, and so on. So the Vilna Gaon lived between 1740 and 1840. So that's the 6th century in the 6th millennium. So that's why he looked in Parshas Kiseitze, which is the 6th Sedra.
Nothing moved.
And then Rav Chaim Volozhiner asked him, where are my Merumas in Parshas Kiseitze? So the Vilna Gaon thought for a while. He looked in the Chumash and he gave him a mocker. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was embarrassed to tell it over to other people. He didn't want to say. This is written down, this story. So the one who wrote down this story from Ksav Yad was Rav Shmuel Malzahn, who lived in Eretz Yisrael 80 years ago. And he put out the Sefer Emuna Bitochon, based on the statements that the Vilna Gaon makes in different Svarim. He puts together a lot of ideas. He quotes this from Ksav Yad from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He adds on that in Parshas Kisavo you have the terrible Toichacha. So he thought that that corresponds to the Nazi persecutions that were between the year 1840 and 1940. It was after 1940, it was worse than before 1940, but he didn't live so long. So he suggested that maybe, just like the Vilna Gaon found the remez for himself and for his Talmud Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Parshas Kiseitze, so maybe the remez to the Holocaust is the Teuchach and Kisavoy, but that was in the 7th century. Then others pointed out that in Nitzavim Vayelech, which is after Kisavoy, that's already the 8th Sedra. Nitzavim Vayelech is the 8th Sedra. So you have about Shivas Tzion, the Jewish people are returning back there to Israel. And you have about the big tshuva movement, all of Klal Yisrael will be doing tshuva. You have the mitzvah writing in Sefer Torah, is mentioned there in that parsha Nitzavim Vayelech. We live in a generation where every other week you hear about somebody making a Siyum Ksiva Sefer Torah. Two. Rav Yitzchak is making two Siyumim on Ksiva Sefer Torah. Some suggest, to add on to what Rav Shmuel Malzahn said, that we live in a generation that's merumas in the 8th Sedra. We spoke.
Rabbi Shechter Shalita was mentioning the remez of Tetzaveh that Moshe Rabbeinu...
we mentioned a few times that the Rambam wrote a major work that's known as Sefer HaMitzvahs. He was not the first one, he was not the last one, but he gives his opinion, and the different Rishonim had different opinions about which mitzvahs to include, which mitzvahs not to include. So perhaps it's kedai to mention that the Vilna Gaon had a brother whose name is Rabbi Avraham, wrote a Sefer, Maalos HaTorah. He writes about how important it is to learn Torah, a small little Sefer. So in the Maalos HaTorah he quotes a few times from his brother, from Rabbi Elio de Vilna Gaon. So he quotes, one of the quotations he quotes from his brother is that he thought that all of the Rishonim were incorrect the way they count the Dominion on Mitzvahs. He said, if you want to count how many Chiyuvim you have to do and how many Averis you're not allowed to do, there are millions and millions of Mitzvahs and millions of Averis. How can you say there are only 613? That was the big challenge that all the Rishonim had. And that's the first half of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. He gives you the 14 klolim, the 14 sharashim, the guidelines. What should be counted in minyan on mitzvahs and what not. So the Vilna Gaon was not happy with the Rambam's klolim. So the Gaon is quoted as having said, he developed what one might refer to as the atomic theory of mitzvahs. The Vilna Gaon lived at the same time as Dalton, Anachri, who developed the atomic theory of matter. You don't say that this is wood and this is copper and this is paper. You say that you break everything down to its component parts, to its atoms. You say that water is H2O. There are so many elements in the world, and every mitzias, everything that's in the world, is a combination to a certain degree of these elements. Two units of hydrogen and one unit of oxygen and so on. And if you have different elements, it'll come out to be a different item. So the Vilna Gaon thought that there were 613 inyanim in mitzvahs. Sometimes you'll have a mitzvah that has 15 inyanim. You have another mitzvah that has 18 inyanim. And some of the 18 inyanim will overlap on the 15 inyanim of the other mitzvah. So HaKadosh thought that there were 613 ideas, inyanim in the mitzvahs. But he admitted himself when he was younger, he admitted that he didn't know how to figure out what the 613 inyanim are. Then in his later age, in the Hakdama to the Orech Chaim, when he was already older, then they quote in his name that he did figure out. He thought that he did succeed in figuring out which the 613 inyanim are. But it's totally a different understanding of what the Tarayag Mitzvahs is all about. You're not counting Chiyuvim in Isurim, but you're rather counting Sinyonim. That's what some refer to this as the atomic theory of Mitzvahs, like the atomic theory of matter. We succeeded twice where we were touring to Daven Vosikin. Vosikin means that you start davening Shacharis in such a way that you recite Kriya Shema right before the sun is about to rise, and then you recite the Shemone Esrei right after sunrise. So this is what the Mishnah records as the Hidur, the Midas Chasidus. Vosikin means Chasidim Anshei Maisa. This is the Midas Chasidus of Vosikin. The Ramban, in his commentary on the Gemara Brachas, points out from a Mishnah that there's another Inyan of Vosikin that's based on a Pasuk in Chumash, to recite Kriya Shema before Hanetzach Hama, even if you don't have your talis and your tefillin on, even if you're not prepared to daven Shema Nesrei right away. You didn't say Pesukah Nezimra in advance. You're not in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema. But if it's about to be sunrise, that the sun is about to rise, there's an Inyan Men HaTorah to recite Kriya Shema before sunrise, immediately before the sunrise. Why? So the Ramban says it based on the Pasuk in Chumash. It says in the Torah we should recite Kriya Shema B'shach B'cha U'V'Kumecha, and the Gemara comments on the Chav of B'shach B'cha, the last Chav, U'V'Kumecha. What do you need that Chav for? It should say B'shchi V'V'Kima. So the Gemara says B'shev is Nidach U'V'Lech is Nidach. The Gemara has a whole explanation what that's all about. So the Ramban points out that usually we establish halachas, dinim in HaTorah, based on what the normal practice is, based on what the rov is. How would Rov Bnei Adam act in such a case? So that's how we establish halachas. The Ramban says here, this pasuk is written in the singular, b'shach t'cha, v'kum echa. So here it depends on when Niyut Bnei Adam are waking up, and when Niyut Bnei Adam are going to sleep. He says there is an opinion that you can recite Kriya Shema before this Kriya Shema Shel Laila, after Plaga Mincha, before the sun sets, an hour and a quarter before Laila, which Meshugan is going to sleep an hour and a quarter before the end of the day. The sun is still shining. Normal people stay up years ago when they didn't have electricity, so normal people go to sleep when it's dark outside and they wake up in the morning when the sun is shining. So a Niyut Bnei Adam go to sleep so early. And a Niyut Bnei Adam, why do you allow people, let's say, to say Kriya Shema so early in the morning before sunrise? Normal people, the Ramban thinks normal people wake up when the sun rises and they're in bed, so they see the light outside. So then they moving around in bed, then they get out of bed. But the sun already rose. He says, but since there's a Niyut Bnei Adam who wake up before the sun rises, so this seems to be the mashmas of the pasuk, that there's a kiyum mitzvah min haTorah, there's an enhancement of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, that a person recites Kriya Shema even if he's not dressed. He has his pajamas on, he doesn't have his talis and tefillin on. One should recite Kriya Shema, if possible, soon before sunrise. And that's what it says in the Mishnah, in Brachas. A person is in a mikveh in the morning, and he's not dressed. He clearly doesn't, he's not able to damish mon esrei. If the water is murky water, if the water is dirty, so then his erva is covered up. Mishnah is talking about a man who's in a mikveh. So if the water is a little muddy and his erva is covered up, then he should put his arm over his waist. So it'll be mafsik bein liba le'erva, shouldn't be liba le'erva, and he should recite Kriya Shema in the mikveh. So the Gemara says, what's the dik behala? Wait till you get out of the mikveh and dry off, and get dressed and put on your talis and tefillin and daven like a mensch. What is he saying Kriya Shema in the mikveh for? So the Gemara explains, because the sun is about to rise, and there's a hidah mitzvah to recite Kriya Shema immediately before the sun rises, even if it's not going to be the full kiyum of asikin. Yiru im shamish, to have Kriya Shema right before Hanetzach Hama and the Shema Nesri right after. And the Ramban is of the opinion that this hidah, this enhancement of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema by reciting it soon before the sun rises is a kiyum deraisa. Most of the time we didn't daven in the shul, we daven in the hotel. Usually when you daven in the shul, you have a mechitza between the men and the women. That's the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a separate section for the women. What's the din if you're not davening in the shul? A shul has to be parallel. The shul is referred to by the Novi Yecheskel as a Mikdash Miyad. Yecheskel HaNovi lived through the Churban Bais Rishayin, and he says, B'nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, send the Jewish people into Golas Bavel. But there, where they will be in Golas Bavel, they will have a miniature Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara understands that this is a reference to the Batei Knesiyah Shebet Bavel. So that's why the Poskim assume that the Beis HaKnesses is supposed to be patterned in to a certain extent, supposed to be patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a separate section for the women, so too in the shul is supposed to be a separate section for the women. What if you're not davening in a shul? What if you're davening in a hotel? So the hotel is not more correct is to daven in a shul. More correct. Dirush Hashem v'hi matzo, we should search out HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the location where there's a better chance to find him. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says v'hi matzo refers to the Beis HaKnesses. But if you don't have a Beis HaKnesses available, so you got no choice, so you have to daven in the hotel. So if you daven in the hotel, do you require a separation between the men and the women? So the Yalkut Shemayni is a medrash on Tanakh. Yalkut Shemayni quotes on the pasuk v'hoyo machanecha kadosh. The pshutu shel mikra v'hoyo machanecha kadosh is referring to the army of Tzahal, that they should have yositi l'chol azinecha. The soldiers should have a shovel, shapta d'chisisos tzeyosecha, that the machne hachayalim should be a mokom v'chubad. They shouldn't have tzoya, they shouldn't have meiraglayim, and they shouldn't have erva. The yerbuch erva is dav rabbi shov miacharecha. Because Hashem alakachem salach bekar machanecha lahatzilecha. Losis avecha biyadecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu promises he will be with the Jewish army, and if there'll be erva, the shov miacharecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu will leave. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will leave the machane, and he will not help the Jewish army win the war. So the Pshuta Shal Mikra is referring to the Kedushas Makam HaMachane. But the Gemara understands, the Gemara Brachas understands, that these Pesukim are also referring to Liman HaTorah and Tefillah, that we require Kedushas HaMachane. So the Yalkut Shemani comments on the Pasuk of Ohayah Machanecha Kadosh, that if a man is davening, he should be careful not to daven within Dalet Amos of women. If a woman is davening, a woman should be careful to daven not within Dalet Amos of a man. The Pasuk says that when Chana didn't have any children, and her husband brought her to Mishkan Shiloh, and she was davening for a child, and then she gave birth to Shmuel HaNavi. So she, at the age of 2, she brought him to Mishkan Shiloh, and Eli raised him, and he developed to become the famous Shmuel HaNavi. So she tells Eli, Anochi Haisha Hanitzevis Imcha Bazeh, I am the woman, you remember, 3 years ago, I was the one who was davening here in the Mishkan Shiloh for a baby, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed me, and he answered my prayers, and he gave me the baby. So that pasuk, Anochi Haisha Hanitzevis Imcha Bazeh, I was standing with you in davening. The word Imcha is spelled in Sefer Shoftim, Ayin Mem Chaf Hei. So Tosfos and Brachos quotes the Medrash, that's not the correct spelling. Imcha should be spelled Ayin Mem Chaf. Why is there an extra Hei? Tosfos quotes the Medrash, she was standing 5 amas away from Eli. That it's not Derech Eretz, it's not the Kovadik, that a man should daven Toch Dalet Amos of a woman, or a woman here, Chana was davening, not Eli. Chana was davening, so she was careful to daven 5 amas away from Eli. 4 amas is a din d'oraisa. 4 amas is the mokum shel tefillah. We have a Mishnah in the Goyim like that. That a metzora is metame kemeis. The people are learning Daf Yomi, just had that Gemara this week. When Miriam was suffering with tzaras, so Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel, she should be healed. So the nusach of the tefillah was, Al tihino kameis, Moshe b'tzeis amirechanimo, and so on. So the Gemara derives from that tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu as recorded in the Chumash. It could be that that's not what he said, but the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, write this text in the Chumash, Al tihino kameis. We don't learn that dinim from the way Moshe Rabbeinu speaks, we learn dinim from the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to write it down in the Chumash. So we learn out from this pasuk that a mitzvah is kudesh lemeis, as it didn't like a mitzvah. A mitzvah is metami ba'ohel, a little bit, not fully. A mitzvah is just like a mace is metami ba'ohel. So the loshen agmar, mitzvah is metami bibiyah, by entering into a room. Not exactly 100% the same as ohel, but a mitzvah is metami bibiyah, by entering a room. So there's a Mishnah that says, if the mitzvah wants to go to shul, so he should sit in a separate section in the shul, like in a women's section with the mechitza separating. You have to make sure that the section for the mitzorah should have Dalet Amos around him, because Dalet Amos is mekomashal tefillah on the level of the raisa. So if the mitzorah section in the shul will have less than Dalet Amos, then the other people in the other part of the shul are davening in the same place as the mitzorah, they'll become tummy. And if his section has more than Dalet Amos, so then the others in the other side of the mechitza will not become tummy. So we assume that this—that's what the Yalkut Shemani says on that pasuk. V'hoya machanecha kadosh, that the men and the women should not be davening toch dalet amos of each other, because dalet amos is mekom shel tefillah. If you're davening in a shul, so that's not sufficient just to have a harchoke of 5 amos in between. That's where Moshe Feinstein has several tshuvas about the height of the mechitza. So a few people suggested that it should be sufficient. You don't need a mechitza. If you have a separation of 5 amas, that should be enough. So he writes in several of his tshuvas, where do you get such an idea? Where do you get such a strange idea from? They got it from the Yalkut Shemayni. But Moshe feels that that only applies when it's not a Beis HaKnesses. When you're davening in a Beis HaKnesses, then it has to be similar to the Beis HaMikdash. It has to be a separate room. Regarding Tfilas HaDerech, the Gemara has a principle that every bracha has to begin Poseach b'baruch, posachas b'baruch. You have to start a bracha, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam. You have to have Shem u'malchus, and then say Shakol nihyeh b'dvaroi, Shekedishanu b'mitzvos u'tzivanu l'hadlik ner shel Shabbos, whatever bracha a person is reciting. So the Balei HaTosfos have a long comment on this passage in the Gemara. What about Tfilas HaDerech? We end off Baruch atah Hashem Shemeh Tfilah, but we don't begin Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam. You start off Yehi Ratzon Mulfanecha Shetor Lechenu L'Shalom. So if it ends up Baruch Atah Hashem Shemeh Tefillah, obviously it's a bracha. So it should be Posachas B'Baruch V'Chasemes B'Baruch. How come it doesn't begin with Baruch Atah? So several suggestions are offered by the Balei HaTosfos. Some Rishonim suggest that this bracha Shemeh Tefillah appears in the Shemana Esrei. And in the Shemana Esrei, it's a bracha smucha l'chavato. Only the first bracha, in the Shemana Esrei, there are 19 brachas. The first of the 19 brachas starts off Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. So since the first bracha is Posachas B'Baruch, so the second bracha Ato Gibor, and the third bracha Ato Kadosh, the fourth bracha Ato Chayinen, and the fourth bracha Shebeinu Avinu V'Sarasecha, don't have to be smucha l'chav, don't have to be Posachas B'Baruch, because each one of them is smucha l'chavato. As long as the first bracha is Posachas B'Baruch, so the others don't have to be Posachas B'Baruch. So some Rishonim say that since the Tfilas HaDerech is the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Shemea Tfilo, and that comes from the Shemana Esrei, and there in the context of the Shemana Esrei, it's smucha l'chavato. So even though when you say Tfilas HaDerech, it's not smucha l'chavato, kach tiknu chachamim. Bracha of Shemeh Tefillah doesn't have to be Posachas B'Baruch. So some of the Rishonim quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg, one of the famous positions of the Maharam Rutenberg we mentioned earlier. Maharam Rutenberg had the practice of the Hasidi Ashkenaz to introduce Minhagim to try to satisfy all the different opinions. So they quote in the name of the Maharam Rutenberg that when one is about to recite Tefillas HaDerech, Amidus Chassidus, that one should say a bracha beforehand, either eat something and say Bar Nefashas, Ala Michia, Pichas Hamazan, or say Asher Yotzar. If the person didn't say Asher Yotzar, let the person say Asher Yotzar. Right after saying some other bracha, then to say the Yehi Ratzon Mulfanecha, they make it into a bracha smucha l'chavato. Many people have that practice because it's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. Al Pi Din, most of the Rishonim do not accept that idea of the Maharam Rutmer, because they hold that it's only considered a bracha smucha l'chavato if it's part of a series of brachas, if the chachamim were misakin it like that. But if it's not part of the takonas chachamim, then it's not considered a bracha smucha l'chavato. Rabbi Yitzchak mentioned several times that the caliphate always felt that the caliph is the hemshech of Mohammed. God is infallible, so the caliph is also infallible. And he showed us the inscription on the wall in one of the palaces that the only one who's infallible is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Human beings are always fallible. We have an institution in the Chumash of a par helam dover shel tzibur. If the Bez Nagadol made a mistake in Psak Halacha, and it was a unanimous vote, the Gemara says, all 71 members of the Bez Nagadol Paskin wrong, and then they realize they made a mistake. So under certain circumstances, they're obligated to bring a special korban. So we know that even the Bez Nagadol can make, unanimously, they can make a mistake. The only one who's infallible is the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. But we usually assume that a psak of a rav is binding. We assume that he probably had a siyata d'shmaya. We say, Lekim nitzo ba'das kel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits there when the Bezdin is judging to help them that they shouldn't make a mistake. But sometimes we assume they did make a mistake. We don't believe in the infallibility of Talmid HaChamim, even the entire Sanhedrin.
We'll continue with it. bathroom break?
Our break here for half an hour.
Chacham is binding because we assume that he probably had a siyata d'shmaya, a divine assistance, to be mechaben avoham. Gemara comments on the pasuk. So we recite in the Yidden Lechor, Vahi David Lechor the Rochav of Maskil, Hashem Yihoi, that David HaMelech was very successful, the Rebbeinu Shlom is always helping him. Gemara understands Hashem Yihoi, Shalocha Kemosa Bechol Makar, that David HaMelech was able to be Mechavin Lamita Shel Torah to pass the Mishayla properly, because Hashem Yihoi, because he had a divine decision. We assume that this is true. The king needs to have a honest bezin. So the Shechina will not be present. You have an honest bezin who are trying to be mechaven alohemes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, Elokim Nitzol Badaskel, the Shechina will be there to help them be mechaven alohemes. That's why the Gemara has a din. It's called the members of the bezin are supposed to sit by Hatifa. Supposed to wear a hat, or supposed to wear a talis over the head, out of respect for the Shechina. We assume the Shechina will be present. And it's not only when you have a bezdin, when you have a talmid chacham paskening in a shayla, so the Gemara says the same. Soda Hashem Meireyov. The reason why a psak of a talmid chacham is binding, because we assume that the pasuk in Tehillim reads, Soda Hashem Meireyov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will assist the Yerushalayim that they should make a mistake in passing. They should pass properly. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash writes that this is the reason why we require Sanhedrin Samach L'Mizbeach. Rashi on the opening pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim explains that the last Parsha in Yisro speaks about Mizbeach. The beginning of Mishpatim talks about Sanhedrin to indicate to us that the Sanhedrin should meet Samach L'Mizbeach. Sanhedrin's official location was in the Lishkas HaGozes, which was a room in the Beis HaMikdosh. Half of the room had Kedushas HaZara, and no one was allowed to sit there. The other half of the room only had Kedushas HaRabayis, where they were permitted to sit. So the Gemara explains, why did they have to sit in such a room that you have to be so careful? Only to sit in one half, not in the other half. Because the Sanhedrin has to be as close as possible to the Mizbeach. So the Ramban explains, the Ramban in this commentary on Chumash explains, the reason why we want to have Sanhedrin in the Beis HaMikdosh is because the Pesachim of the Sanhedrin are binding on all of Klal Yisrael. That's the highest court that we have. So we certainly want that the Sanhedrin should be granted the Siyata Dishmaya, the Paskin properly. But even Sanhedrin can make a mistake. We have the institution of Bar Halam Davashal Tzibur, that it's possible to have a unanimous vote of Sanhedrin, all 71 made a mistake, and then they have to bring in a special carbon for Kapara later. Mishnah in the fifth Perek, this week's Perek in August is the fifth Perek, and Yitzchak was learning the first few Mishnayos with us. The later Mishnah in the Perek draws the contrast between Talmidim Shel Avraham Avinu as opposed to Talmidim Shel Bilam HaRasha. So the Mishnah quotes the pasuk from today's Sedra, the way Bilam HaRasha gives a message to the Shluchim of Balak Melech Moav, and he tells them, Imitili Balak Malok Beiso Kesev Zohav. Even if Balak pays me millions of dollars, I cannot do anything against the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mishnah draws the contrast between Avraham Avinu and Bilam. Avraham Avinu was humble, Bilam was arrogant. Avraham Avinu was targin other people, and Bilam was Eino Roa B'Shal Acherim. Avraham Avinu wasn't interested in riches, and Bilam was only interested in becoming very rich. We derive this from the pasuk in today's sedra, the way Bilam makes a statement, "Meanly, Balak Malok Beis of Kesev Zohar." So all the commentaries on the Mishnayos say, "Kasha," that in next week's Perek and Perek Vav, The garbage really only has 5 brok in, and the 6th perik is price it. Shana Rabbeinu, Baloshana Mishnah, Baruch Shabach Behem Bib Mishnasam. The first 5 brok in one Mishnah is, and the 6th perik is a price which is written similar to the Mishnah. So next week's perik Vav, the Mishnah tells a story about one of the Tanoim, Yosef Ben Kisma, who was traveling on the highway. And he was offered a rabbinical position in the community where there were Pashat and Pashat and Balabatim, and no one was really interested in learning Torah. So he tells the Balabas he's not interested in taking the position. Even if they give him millions of dollars of salary, he won't take that position. He'll only go to a place where there's Torah, where they're interested in learning and there are people learning Torah. So if the Tana takes the statement of Bilam, Bilam says, even if Balak pays me millions of dollars, I won't go. The Tana takes it as an indication that he had a desire to become rich. So then we should take this statement of Rabbi Yosef Ben Kisma also as an indication. He's also interested in becoming rich. And the speed of the guna of Bilam, because the Rabbi Yosef Ben Kisma also said the same similar lashon. Even if you'll pay me millions of dollars in salary, I won't go. Isn't it the same as the way Bilam says? So the commentaries on Mishnayis explain that there's a big difference. The Balabas who offered the Tana Rabbi Yosef Ben Kisma the rabbinical position offered him a fortune of money. He said, will you agree to serve as the rabbi in our community? We'll pay you a tremendous salary. So he responds, no, salary is not the issue. Even if you pay me millions of dollars, I won't take the position in your community because you're not interested in learning Torah. But over here by Bilam and Balak, no one raised an issue of money at all. Bilam says on his own, even if Balak gives me millions of dollars, the Shulchan of Balak never said a word about how much he's going to pay. So this is why the Tana and the Mishnah understood from the language that Bilam used that he was only interested in riches. He only wanted to become very rich. The commentaries on the Mishnah also point out, instead of the Mishnah drawing a contrast between Avraham Avinu and Bilam HaRasha, Mishnah says, Man Beit Talmidov Shal Avraham Avinu, Beit Talmidov Shal Bilam HaRasha. Look at the difference between these Talmidim and those Talmidim. Why doesn't the Mishnah draw a contrast between Ma'bein Avraham Avinu and Bilam HaRasha? So some of the Mepharshim point out that sometimes Bilam HaRasha is arrogant, he has all the three midas begunas, arrogant, he doesn't forgive others, and he's only interested in becoming very wealthy, but he camouflages all of this. He wears a long kapata with langateyas, and he dresses up like a big holy tzaddik. He could pass for Avraham Avinu. So sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between Bilam in person and Avraham Avinu. The Bilam can dress up like Avraham Avinu. But when it comes to the Talmidim, then it'll be noticeable already. You have a lot of times different yeshivas. The heads of the yeshiva all seem to be big Talmid HaChamim. They all dress similarly. They all say the same style shir. They all daven the same. Everything seems to be the same. When you look at the Talmidim, so you can tell the difference between the Talmidim of Bilam and the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. All the Midas Magunas will become apparent in the Talmidim, even if by the Rebbe, these Midas are camouflaged and are covered up. We're going to Gibraltar. So there also the Zmanim are not at all like in America. The Shkia tonight is going to be about 9:41. The earliest Tesa Kebabim is 10:26. That's a cooler. Plag HaMincha is 8:10. Preferable would be that we should see to it that we should daven Mincha before the Plag HaMincha. We should finish Mincha before 8:10. And we'll be able to daven Ma'ariv to be Mekabel Shabbos early, daven Ma'ariv after 8:10. We hope and pray that that's what they plan to do.
Nice,
we mentioned last week
that on Pesach night,
there is a dispute in the Balei HaTosfos that the person will accept Pesach early, and the Mekabel Yom Tov early can eat the matzah before the sun goes down. So the Shulchan Aruch accepts the opinion that you have to eat the matzah at night. You have to wait till Pesach Kochav to begin the Kiddush. You can't even begin the Seder, you can't even begin the Kiddush until after Laila. On a regular Shabbos, the Gemara says you may recite Kiddush early. You can daven Maariv early. You can recite the Kiddush when the sun is still shining. If you recite the Kiddush about Yom before the Shkia, obviously you can start the meal. Because Kiddush has to be b'makom suda, you have to start eating right away. So nonetheless, Taisvis on the opening Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim, the last Perek Pesachim, Taisvis has two opinions. Can you fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos if you finish the whole meal mibod yom? So one opinion in Taisvis is that even though you can recite Kiddush before the Shkia, you can start the meal before the Shkia, otherwise it won't be Kiddush b'makom suda. One should eat a little bit of challah after Tzeisah Kochavim. That's going to be late, that's going to be 10:26. So if one is inclined to be machmir, make sure that you save over a little bit of challah. Different opinions how much challah you have to eat, what's the minimum size of challah you have to eat in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. And one opinion is a kezayis, one opinion is kebeitza, and others say it has to be yosem kebeitza, slightly more than a kebeitza. So one should keep this in mind. The Daf Yomi people are learning the beginning of Chula now, which has all the dinim of Shechitas Chulin. Shechitas Kachim is not identical with Shechitas Chulin. Shechitas Kachim is slightly different. So Shechitas Kachim is Maseches Vachin, Hanashech Korban. Maseches Chulin is Shechitas Chulin, Hanashech Benas Chulin. So the Yerideya, Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, starts off with Hilcha Shechita. So the opening passage in the Torah, Yerideya, is a quotation from the Chumash in Chumash Devarim, where it says that when Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, is talking to the Jewish people in the Midbar,
in front of you is the rock. You can start seeing the rock here, the rock of Gibraltar.
Chumash Devarim is quoted. When the Jewish people will come to Eretz Yisrael, one will have a desire to eat fleshiks. That's why it's called Besar Taiva. Because the Chumash says, Besar Chulin that we eat, the flesh of the chicken that we eat, is called Besar Taiva, as opposed to Besar Korbanis, Besar Kutchin. So the Chumash says, Kisava Napshu Chalechal Basar. So the Torah tells us we should shech the Zavata Kashet Tibisichon. We should shech the behemoths properly, as I have commanded you. Kashet tivisicho. What does that mean? Mezavachta kashet tivisicho. So the Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash, explains Pshuto Shel Mikra as follows. He says in the Midbar, the laws of Shechita were given with respect to shechting karbanis. When you shechted a karban, you had to do a proper Shechita in accordance with the rules of Shehiya, Drasa, Halod, Hagroma, Ve'ikar, all the five details of the laws of Shechita. As far as eating behemas chulin in the midbar, so the Rambam quotes from the Tanoim, the Sar Dechira was muta. If an animal would die a natural death, that would be called nevela. You wouldn't be allowed to eat it. If you shoot an animal to death or choke an animal to death, that's nevela. You wouldn't be allowed to eat it. But if you would take a saw, if you cut off the legs of the animal while it's still living, that's eiv menachai. That's nevela. You're not allowed to eat that. But if you cut off the leg with cut off the neck with a saw, even though it's full of behemoths, and you didn't shecht in accordance with the Hilcha Shechita, nonetheless, in the midbar, that would be mutar achila. That's called Besar Nechira was mutar. When they crossed over the Yarden, the Besar Nechira became osir. And then the laws of Shechita applied to Chulin. So when Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'zavachta kasher tzivisicha," Ramban says what the pasuk means is, in Eretz Yisrael, when you want to shecht chulin, you have to shecht just like kasher tzivisicha bekotchim, just like I commanded you in the midbar. When you shecht karbonis, you have to shecht it properly in accordance with the Yeridaya. So from now on, after you enter Eretz Yisrael, all the chamish hilcha shechita, all the five dinim of shechita apply to shechitas chulin. The Gemara has a different, an additional level of interpretation, because the Gemara takes the term kasher tzivisicha as a technical term, implying that there's some Torah Shebaal Peh involved. The Rambam, in his introduction to the Mishnah Torah, quotes the pasuk after Maimon Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai proclaimed the Aseret HaDibros Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and then he instructs Moshe Rabbeinu V'atot Alei Helai HaHara, climb up to the top of Har Sinai, Ve'etn Lucha Esluchas HaBris So the Rambam quotes the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ale alai ha'ora, come up to Har Sinai. I will give you Luchas Abris, the Shnei Luchas Abris, with the Aseres Adibris, HaTorah, the rest of Chamishu Chamshei Torah, the HaMitzvah is a reference to Torah Shebaal Peh. Asher Kosafti is a reference to Nevi'im Uksuvim. All of the ideas that appear in the Nevi'im Ksuvim were also given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. And the Hayroisam Zu HaMishnah, that refers to the ability to come to a conclusion to Psak Halacha. So the Gemara understands that the term HaMitzvah is an allusion to Torah Shebaal Peh. Similarly, the Pasuk says in Parshas Matos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Bnei Yisrael Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Me'ez HaMidyonim, that we have to wage war against the Midyonim. So the Pasuk says that Bnei Yisrael waged war Kasher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe. What is that adding on? Kasher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe. So the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim quotes from the Sifrei, Kasher Tziva is a reference to some chunk of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a din at a wage war that's never written in Chumash, it's only transmitted from there, and that's what the Pasuk is alluding to. Namely, whenever you wage war, you're not permitted to surround the enemy on all four sides. You always have to leave one side open so they'll be able to run away. So the Pasuk means that Bnei Yisrael waged war against Midyan, Hashem is Moshe, in accordance with the halacha of the Torah Shebaal Peh, namely to leave your fourth side open. Here also,
of the rock, and I will take advantage of